It goes without saying that the hardest part of this evening's program is always the transition. You know, in Eretz Yisrael, it's much more natural as the observances of Yom HaZikaron and Yom HaAtzmaut are separated. Last night, today, was a time that was dedicated for morning reflection of the incredible loss and sacrifices, and tonight, reserved for celebration, and we try to somehow bring together, bridge together these two very different, but yet, as Rabbi Katz mentioned so beautifully, related events. We mourn for that which we have lost, but we celebrate for the fact that for the first time in 2,000 years, although Jewish blood is spilled, there's a higher purpose. There's a higher calling. There's a higher service. For 2,000 years, the Jew was killed by his enemy for no better reason than the fact that the enemy was stronger than the Jew and therefore chose to exercise that muscle and those rights and those abilities by taking life. But today we celebrate the fact that we live in a day and age where there's a Jewish army. There's a Jewish uniform, and it has three sacred Hebrew letters on it. A tzaddik, a hey, and a lamed. So as difficult as it is to merge these two observances together, in reality we celebrate the fact that for the first time in 2,000 years we have something worth sacrificing for. For the first time in 2,000 years, we have a homeland that we could call our own, that is really our own, that we have the privilege to defend with our own men and women, that we have the privilege to set up our beautiful institutions of Torah study, our beautiful yeshivos, batei medrash, seminary, schools, all not just to be an Am Chofshi Bartzenu, but to be an Am Kadosh, to be a holy nation within our land. But the truth is, we're going to spend just a few moments trying to reflect a little bit on what is it that we are celebrating on this day of Yom HaAtzmaut. And my friends, I want to tell you something, and this is a personal confession. Rabbi Katz and I share a common bond in that we both spend time in Fairlawn, New Jersey. I'm a transplant to Baltimore, and I have to share something with you. Creating a Yom HaAtzmaut program in Baltimore is not easy. This one wants music. This one doesn't want music. This one says that music in a video is okay. This one says music in a video is not okay. This one, we believe we should celebrate it as a yontiv. This one says, well, it's not a yontiv, but we should be a little bit happy, but not too happy, just a little bit happy. Happier than more than a regular day, but a little less happier than a yontiv day. And we have to try to figure out how to craft a meaningful event for all of us. Because it's easy to go ahead and say, okay, let's do something that will satisfy a segment, and it might even be a little bit more meaningful, and it might be a little bit more labadig, and a little bit more exciting. But you know what? It misses the point. Because what we celebrate on Yom HaAtzmaut is Klal Yisrael. And you know, my friends, what it means to be part of Klal Yisrael? It means to make concessions. Because if it's your way or the highway, you might be a successful individual, but you will not be a successful member of the Jewish people. If only you know the truth, and only you know that what is correct, and anyone who doesn't share your view or outlook is simply wrong, or archaic, or behind the times, then you may be a successful individual, but again, you won't be a successful Jew. And so it's hard. It's hard for us to feel a little bit of the spirit of Yom HaAtzmaut because the truth is we're outside of Eretz Yisrael. I was just remarking to someone today how I feel it's hard to feel every Yom Tov outside of the land of Israel. It's hard to feel the regalim because even though we don't yet have a Beis HaMikdash, at least if you're in Eretz Yisrael, there's a quasi Aliyah L'Regel. You could say that you're ascending to Eretz Yisrael, ascending to Yerushalayim. Baltimore is great. Pikesville is wonderful this time of year. Pesach had beautiful weather, but there was a little something lacking in the air, even if you were in Miami, Ira Kodesh. And a day like today, when we celebrate independence, I'll tell you a personal confession. I feel so far removed and so disconnected because my brothers and sisters 6,000 miles away are experiencing this sacred day in one way, and we're experiencing a little bit differently, trying our best, doing what we can, doing our avoda to recognize that today is something special and unique. So what I'd like to try to focus on for just a few more moments is what is it that makes this day of Yom HaAtzmaut so unique? So I saw an amazing fact. 67 years ago, when the State of Israel was founded in 1948, the total population of Israel was 806,000 people. The government conducts a census every year right before Yom HaAtzmaut. The population of Israel today, 67 years later, is 8,345,000. That's reason to celebrate. That's reason to celebrate. That we have seen a resurgence. That we have seen an incredible bringing to life of our ancestral homeland. 800,000 to over 8 million in the span of 67 years is nothing short of the splitting of the Red Sea. It's nothing less than the falling of the manna in the desert. It's nothing less than Sinaitic revelation by God himself in the middle of the desert. 800,000 to 8 million. And the amazing part is that there are those of us here in this room tonight, in this shul tonight, who have seen this with their own eyes, who have lived through this entire progression, this nes nigla, this overt miracle. Perhaps that's one reason to celebrate tonight. Others explain that the reason to celebrate Yom HaAtzmaut is that it's Aschalta de Geula. It's the beginning of Messianic redemption. 67 years ago, when literally there was a declaration of independence for Klal Yisrael, we became a state, a Jewish homeland. Yes, with all of its imperfections and with all of its idiosyncrasies, but it's still a Jewish homeland. Some want to say that therefore this day marks Aschalta de Geula, the beginning of Messianic redemption. But my friends, I don't agree with that statement, but for a different reason. You know, there's a famous statement of the Chafetz Chaim. The Chafetz Chaim in the late 1800s, when he heard about Jews leaving Europe to start communities like Rehovot, Rishon LeZion, and Gedera, his words were, "It has begun." You see, the Chafetz Chaim told us that Geula started much earlier than 67 years ago. Geula started when the first pioneers went back to an arid, barren land and established agricultural settlements and decided that it was their God-given mission to rehabilitate and to reinvigorate our sacred ancestral homeland. So while it might be Aschalta de Geula, the beginning of redemption, Messianic redemption, I prefer to think that Messianic redemption began many years before 1948. Perhaps, as Rav Tzvi Yehuda Cohen Cook suggests, that the power of Yom HaAtzmaut is that on this day when we were given autonomy to establish a homeland, in his words, we were Mekadesh Shem Shamayim Berabim. We sanctified the name of God in public. We showed the nations of the world just a mere few years after the Holocaust, while the chimneys of Auschwitz were still spurring their barbaric smoke, that Am Yisrael will always survive. That Am Yisrael Netzach Yisrael Lo Yishaker. Klal Yisrael, we are here for all eternity. We are truly the chosen nation of God, and nothing, absolutely nothing, could keep us down. And when the nations of the world saw that the Jewish nation rebounded just a few short years after the atrocities of the Holocaust, the nations of the world, says Rav Tzvi Yehuda, were forced to recognize that there is something special, unique, and almost something that defies words about Klal Yisrael. That the formation of the State of Israel is Mekadesh Shemo Berabim. We sanctified God's name in a public, almost worldly sphere. But I think that the power of today, the power of Yom HaTzmaut, is something much simpler. A couple of years ago, the privilege to be with my family in Eretz Yisrael, and we took a day trip to Tzfat. I think I might have told some of you this story after it happened. And we were sitting down, we were eating at a pizza store in Tzfat, and I was looking out the window, and I saw a very strange sight. I saw three young children, and I remember it like yesterday. There was an older child, the daughter, who was standing in the middle, and two little boys on her side. And she was holding their hands, and the little boys began to cry. And you could see the big sister was trying to be strong, but soon she began to cry as well. And I got up, I was about to go outside. My wife often reminds me to mind my own business. Specifically in Israel, for some reason, I have an overwhelming yetzahara to be a nunnik and to find out what's happening with everyone. She said, sit down, eat your pizza, right? The parents will take care of it. But there was something so sad about this that I went outside and I saw that there wasn't a parent there. There wasn't a father, there wasn't a mother. And the kids, mamash, at this point in time are all crying. So I decided at least I was going to, the parent must have been there somewhere. I was just going to stand with them until father or the mother came back. Not 30 seconds go by. The father comes running out. He scoops up the children. He hugs them. And I remember his words. His words he said to them in Hebrew, but I'll say it to you in English. He said, my children, don't cry. He said, I saw you the entire time. I never took my eyes off you. And at that moment, my dear friends, I realized what Hakamat HaMedina, what the establishment of the State of Israel really means for us. Because 67 years ago, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us the great privilege to reestablish a homeland, the message that he said to us was, I've always been looking after you. Even when you thought I was distant, even when you thought I was far, even when you thought I wasn't there, I was always looking after you. Even when you thought you were all alone, I want you to know that you were never alone. And even when you felt forsaken, my eyes were always on you. For the first time, really, in 2,000 years, when we established the State of Israel, the Jewish people had tangible proof of the love of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, of how much God loves us. And my friends, I will tell you that that's a lot more valuable than Kiddush Shem Shamayim Berabim, and is even a lot more valuable than Aschalta Degula, you'll excuse me. Because there is nothing more important and more heartwarming in life to know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves us, cares about us, and is looking after us. And I had another similar experience like this. In my last trip to Eretz Yisrael, again, I slip into nudnik mode already on the plane. And as we davened marav, I was walking back to my seat and I saw again a little girl with her eyes closed and she was crying and her mother was, you know, was trying to calm her by patting her head. And I went over to the mother. I said, Chol Azor, could I help with something? So I realized I probably didn't approach this situation correctly. So the mother said to me, Atarofe, what are you, a doctor? Right? What do you want to do? I said, no. You know, do you work with the airline? No. She said, so who are you? I said, at this point in time, I didn't know what to say. I said, I'm a rabbi. Very nice. I'm a rabbi. I'm leading a group. She said, Tov, lech litpalel. She said, good. You can go, Davin. I sat back down in my seat, very humbled. And she was actually sitting right across the row from me. And I saw something amazing. This little girl looked like, I'm not a doctor, but it looked like she had some type of allergic reaction to something. So her eyes were burning. And she was sitting on her seat, sitting back in her seat. And she was crying. She was clearly in such pain. And then something beautiful happened. Her mother was sitting next to her. Her mother was just simply running her hand over her head and was saying Tehillim. And she did that for about 5 hours on the flight. And my friends, when I saw that, I said to myself, that little girl, she reminded me of Klal Yisrael. Because we've cried so much over the generations. So much that our eyes are sometimes swollen shut with tears. We've cried so much because we've had so many consecutive generations of heartbreak. But you know what the amazing part is? HaKadosh Baruch Hu sits down by our side. He strokes our head. And he whispers in our ear that everything is going to be okay. And for years and generations and centuries, we heard the whisper. But 67 years ago, it ceased to simply be a whisper. It became something tangible that we could actually see, that we could actually experience, that we could actually visit, live in, participate in. For 2,000 years, it was a whisper in our ear telling us that he loves us, telling us that he cares about us, trying to pat our heads, dry our tears. But on Yom HaAtzma'ut, we celebrate that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has finally given us more than words. He's given us our land. And through that land, he has shown us that he's here, he's present, he's engaged. Bless you. And he is with us until the end. And one last piece. On that same trip, after I learned my lesson and stopped asking questions, our group went to Davin Kabbalah Shabbos by the Kotel. And when we went, it was still in the midst of the rainy season, and it was drizzling a little bit as Shabbos was beginning. But I assured the group that, of course, if we go to the Kotel to Davin Kabbalah Shabbos, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not going to let us get drenched on the way back. Don't ask me for any information about the track or who to bet on or anything else. I was wrong, and it poured. And it was pouring so hard that the truth is we couldn't even go back. So if you've been to the Kotel recently, you'll notice that right as you're walking on the men's section, before you get in, before you could make a left into the indoor part, is what looks like a little cave area. So in there they keep Siddurim, Chumashim, Sifrei Tehillim. So we decided that we were going to go in there and we'll just wait it out a little bit. But we're not going to just sit in a cave. It's not a cave. You're not going to sit in that alcove area and not do anything. So we began to exchange words of Torah. And then after the words of Torah, we began to sing. And there was something magical about it. Shabbos night, everyone had already left. Well, the truth is, most people just didn't come to the Kotel in the first place. It was a bad idea, but it was a beautiful idea. So we sang, and I had my eyes closed for a little while. And when I opened them, I saw that our little cave that began with 12 people had now about 45 people crammed inside of it. Chassidim, Misnagdim, Ashkenazim, Sfardim, people wearing the paper kippot, the paper yarmulkes, and everyone in between. And everyone just singing together. That's the magic of Eretz Yisrael as well. You see, very often we think of Eretz Yisrael, and often it is, as being a divisive place. Being a place where different streams and different hashkafas and different ideologies draw their lines in the sand. And sometimes that does happen. We are an Am Kishe Oref. We are a stiff-necked people and we don't like to yield, we don't like to concede. But when you boil it all down, when you take away all of the external layers, we are truly an Am Echad B'Lev Echad. We are truly one people with one heart. We are truly one nation, and that oneness, that achdus, that togetherness is actualized, yes, at times in Chutz La'aretz, and at times in our beautiful Torah communities. But that achdus is fully actualized only in one place, and that's Eretz Yisrael. That's Medinat Yisrael. That's the gift. Eretz Yisrael is the platform by which we celebrate and which we revel in our togetherness and in our achdus. It's a place where at least for a couple of moments on a Shabbos night, we could set aside all of our differences. We could set aside all of those things that we disagree on. And we could sing together. We could share Divrei Torah with one another. We could put our arms around one another. And we could be one people. And so, my dear friends, on this night, on this day of Yom HaAtzmaut, we celebrate many different things. We celebrate a miraculous population boom in just 67 years. We celebrate Aschalta D'Geula, the beginning of redemption. Hopefully not the beginning, but a continuation. We celebrate the fact that 67 years ago, we're Mekadesh Shem Shamayim. We celebrate the fact that we now have a beautiful and wonderful platform for Jewish unity. We celebrate that after so many thousands of years of wondering, Ribono Shel Olam, do you still love us? 67 years ago, the answer came back to us, and it was a resounding yes. 67 years ago, we were reminded that the Ribono Shel Olam not just loves us, but loves us beyond measures. And let us hope that in the merit of coming together and celebrating this sacred, miraculous, auspicious, and holy day, let us hope that in the merit of appreciating, and we must appreciate each and every day the gift of the state of Israel, in the merit of appreciating, in the merit of davening always for our soldiers and for our elected leaders in the state of Israel, in the merit of taking a moment out of each busy day to say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, thank you for the miraculous gift. Let us hope that we will leave the stages of Aschalta D'Geula. It's been too long in the beginning stages of redemption. We've been here enough. We've been here too long. Let us hope that HaKadosh Baruch Hu sees how much we appreciate the gift that He has given us and the merit of our gratitude towards Him. May we be privileged to celebrate together the final stages of Geula. May we be privileged not just to simply spend next Yom HaAtzmaut in Eretz Yisrael, but may we be privileged to spend every day together in Eretz Yisrael, in a rebuilt Yerushalayim, witnessing, reveling, and celebrating the final stages of Geula, the final stages of Mashiach b'mehera b'yameinu. Amen. Vishavo banem, vishavo banem, vishavo banem legvulam. Vishavo banem, vishavo banem.